if it's locally owned.
It's Copper Road.
Organically grown.
It's Copper Road.
Your heart will warm.
It's Copper Road.
Got that hometown charm.
It's Copper Road.
Conversations with the Mayors is presented by the Chamber for Greater Chapel Hill Carborough. I just mentioned masks. Your Chamber and New Day Care products have partnered to bring the community reliable access to high-quality PPE with on-time delivery. Help stop the spread. Get your masks, your gloves, your sanitizer, and more online at chamberppe.com. And if you use the coupon code Chapel Hill Chamber, you'll get 10% off your order. Talking Carborough this day, and we are joined on the phone by Carborough Mayor Lydia Lavelle. Mayor, thank you so much for being with us today.
Of course. Happy weekend coming up, Aaron.
You've got Labor Day weekend plans this time around?
I do, but unfortunately, I'm teaching on Monday.
Gotcha.
Universities plan to have classes on Monday because I think they, thought students would be here. And anyway, but North Carolina Central, we do teach on Monday, so it's okay though. It's going to be such a beautiful weekend.
Yeah.
Just can't wait.
Well, townofcarborough.org for more information on town government, including the Carborough Town Council. Had a meeting a couple of days ago and another one coming up on Tuesday. You'll be able to get the agenda for that, and we'll talk about that in just a couple of minutes. First, though, got to bring up the kind of the big news of the day in Orange County, I guess, which is the official updated order, local order from Orange County regarding mass gathering requirements and changes to COVID restrictions after Governor Cooper came out with his changes earlier in the week. This order basically going along with Cooper's order in terms of easing some of the restrictions, but mass gatherings still limited to 10 people inside and 25 people outside, and just a week delay on reopening playgrounds. So what went into the decisions there?
Yeah, so as you know, we have gotten into this kind of routine where once the governor adjusts his order or issues his order, then Orange County kind of looks at their order and, consults with the mayors of, Hillsborough and Chapel Hill and myself, and we kind of talk through whether we want to do anything different than the governor is doing. And, of course, every single time we've done something a little different, in fact, going out in front of him on some of the things that he has done. So we knew that this might come next week. But, of course, I think he surprised everyone this past weekend when we got word that, no, indeed, this week there was going to be this 2.5. And so, I don't think it's a surprise. The governor's order is still, a really safer at-home order, as we like to call it. And one of the reasons that we decided to kind of line up completely with him, except for those items I'll discuss, is because it just creates less confusion.
Mm-hmm.
In that way, because people around the county, hear what the governor's doing. And it's on the news, it's on the radio, it's on social media, and people come in and out of our county. And because it's so close to exactly how we feel, things can be, we decided to align everything as much as possible. Now, as for the mass gatherings, I consulted with the health director about this, and just given that our cases are still pretty high from the return of the folks to campus, although they are slowly declining, we thought it was wise until that number got a little bit lower to keep those gatherings at indoors at 10 and outdoors at 25, because those groups of people are where we usually see the spread kind of happen. And at which time that number does kind of get down to that 5% range, I know the county's going to review that decision and then decide whether to bump up those numbers.
Do you have or do you know if Quintana Stewart, the health director, if she has a particular numerical threshold that she's looking at for case numbers or percent positive tests or anything like that to say, okay, we can raise the mass gathering requirement?
Yeah, I think overall what we've heard all along is that ideally you get under that 5%, case positive, and we were there. We were a little under it before the return of the students and folks for university. But so I think my sense is that it'll be around that percentage number. Now, sometimes our numbers don't match up exactly with the state. Sometimes they're a little delayed from the state. Sometimes there's some cleaning up with the university about students and so on. So, you know, I hate to say straight on 5%, but I know that's the range that I think that we'd be advised to look at in terms of when Orange County, you know, would increase that mass gathering number. Now, as for playgrounds, there's no issue with opening up the playgrounds other than the staff, you know, our professional Parks and Recreation staff, need to have some time to prepare the areas for use. And because, again, this kind of, you know, came a little earlier than I think folks thought it would have. And so some maintenance had been deferred, you know, because of the pandemic and reduced staffing. And so the managers recommended that we have an extra week so that they could, you know, get all these amenities ready to open. So, you know, next week we'll be able to have picnic shelter reservations, you know, for up to 25 people. Some of the specific places in town, as you know, like the bocce court in Chapel Hill, the dog park in Carrboro, the pump track in Carrboro, sand volleyball courts for 2v2 in Chapel Hill, and then allowing extended, you know, doubles play at the tennis courts, and then I think there are pickleball courts in Chapel Hill. But in any event, those are the recreational amenities that staff wants to kind of go out and make sure that, you know, maintenance is okay, that everything's up to speed, so that when folks start using those facilities, they'll be able to enjoy them safely.
Do you know what the maintenance entails? Is it actual like work on some of the equipment, or is it just kind of cleaning everything down?
You know, that's a good question. I know, you know, back in my Parks and Recreation professional days, we used to, about every month, you know, go around to every single bit of equipment we had and just literally test it out, you know, because despite the fact that people shouldn't be using equipment, you know, things can rust, things can break, with bad weather, you can have things happen. So we would always, you know, try to hit our facilities on a regular basis to make sure that, you know, nothing had happened to them. And, you know, when I mention some of these things here, when I think of dog park, volleyball courts, those kind of things, I'm sure that they want to make sure that, you know, they're all free of debris. And also the doubles play at the tennis courts and pickleball courts, we used to go out and check around and make sure that, you know, all the tennis straps were there, all the nets were in proper shape, you know, all the netting was up properly. And the other thing, Aaron, I'm not sure if they're doing this or not, but, you know, maybe they're posting some signage, you know, about, you know, try to stay 6 feet apart, you know, be aware of, you know, wearing a mask if you're not playing or if you're near people. I'm not sure if they're going to do anything like that. I imagine that's part of the conversation that they were having.
Well, Mayor Heminger was willing to sign off on an extra week delay to get back on the pickleball court again. So, you know, it's serious. You know, it's 100%
right.
Serious.
No, absolutely. She wants to make sure the pickleball court is ready.
Speaking with Carrboro Mayor Lydia Lavelle, townofcarrboro.org is the website for more information on town government, including the Carrboro Town Council. We'll talk about next week's meeting and the agenda for it coming up in a few minutes. But this past week's meeting on Tuesday, a couple of days ago, we talked about the agenda last week, but the meeting took place on Tuesday and a couple significant developments there. We talked about the Black Lives Matter mural. We talked about the namesake for the town of Carrboro. How did those discussions go?
Yeah, thanks for asking that. You know, I think one thing our council wants to do is be very thoughtful about anything that we do. And, you know, perhaps sometimes we go overboard on our thoughtfulness. But it was really an evening of being thoughtful about some of these items. You know, for instance, the namesake item. I didn't sense any type of huge resistance to renaming Carrboro, say, after another car. It was just more of the thoughtfulness behind, you know, what does that really achieve? What does it really do? Is it more symbolic, or is it really part of our overall continuing work and effort to eradicate racism? And so, you know, we had kind of a long talk about that. We had a petition presented to us by a young lady named Sydney Runkel, who had several hundred people who had said they thought this was a good name, and she wasn't quite sure how many were from Carrboro. But I think in its face, you know, it seems like a very wonderful idea. But, you know, we also wanted to hear from members of our community, you know, members of our Black community, and does it mean anything to those folks? Does it mean anything to our longstanding residents? You know, we went through the whole truth plaque exercise where we, you know, kind of went through the history of our of our past with Joy and Carr, and it's on a plaque on our town hall. You know, do we need to also additionally do this? You know, is it so anyway, we just kind of had a long talk about that. There really was no momentum or steam on the council for changing the town name. And, you know, I've never been a fan of that idea. And I didn't hear anyone else really express an interest in that, other than Randy Haven O'Donnell suggested that maybe town staff come up with, you know, a one-pager or a list of reasons or a list of the implications of changing the name of a town. You know, what's the cost? And I don't just mean the financial cost, which might be the smallest thing of all, but just, you know, literally the manpower cost. And again, not just to the town, but to think about every single person who lives in the town having to change so much of their material. And then also just the archives and the legal documents, and it just kind of goes on and on and on. And then to what end? Why don't we want to, you know, is there another way to stay with the name we have and either go changing the namesake route or do what we have done? Say, look, we're Carrboro, we're proud of it. We're proud of what we've done. We're proud of what we've accomplished. And we, you know, we think that Joey Carr would not see the same Carrboro he saw when back in 1913. And so, you know, that it was kind of a circular conversation, no decision made about that.
Well, I was thinking about this earlier in the week, and I mean, this is just my thinking, so this is just one person, but it occurred to me that this is one of those cases where the whole is more than the sum of its parts, right? And like the word Carrboro just in and of itself means something and stands for something that you don't get just from taking car and borough and combining it together. Like Carrboro is its own entity. It's a one syllable word now.
No, that's, I love that. That's great, because that's true. I mean, you know, our name isn't Carr, right? But, and Carrboro is the only word of its sort in the world. You know, we're the only town named Carrboro in the world. And so, I agree. And it's complicated. But I do think we made really, really good progress. And, you know, we did a really good thing by having the truth plaque and that exercise of pulling together lots of members of our community, lots of Black members and just longstanding folks who know about the history of Carrboro to get together to come up with the language for that and really talk about that.
You asked a really good question a couple of minutes ago, which is in the discussion about what to do or whether to do something about the name. Is it just symbolic or is it part of real meaningful action in combating racism? And this is something that I've been thinking about in the context of other symbolic gestures when it comes to like statues and flags and just the existing symbols of racism that still litter our community and our region and our country. On the one hand, like the way that's phrased is exactly right. You don't want to just do the symbolic thing and then give up on the actual kind of meaningful, tangible steps to eliminate systemic racism. The symbols also matter, though, too, right? Like there is something meaningful about taking down a statue or taking down a flag that actually does kind of move the dial, even if it's just a symbol. It's a meaningful symbol, too.
Yeah, no, right. It's part of your overall kind of, you know, mantra, your overall effort, your whole overall kind of mindset. Much like the other discussion we had about doing a mural, you know.
Yep.
And a mural is, again, a symbolic gesture, but one that means a lot to the community that passes it every day, walks by it every day, looks up at it every day. It doesn't get at our affordable housing issues or our financial issues or unemployment or living wage or all those other systemic issues, but it is a source of, hey, you know, this matters to all of us to be able to see this visually and think about it every day. And so, so we did talk about the mural again. And again, Aaron, we talk a lot, you know, and we are trying to decide now, you know, we've gone back and forth about whether we have it on a parking lot or have it up on a mural up on a town building or a visible location in town where we already have lots and lots of really cool murals throughout not just Carrboro but our whole community. And so we're leaning a little more toward that idea now, just again wanting to be thoughtful and wanting to think, you know, through Well, the street idea is good. Maybe down the road we also do something on a parking lot or street or whatever, but maybe we should shift more towards some kind of a mural and work with someone on a mural, because we keep running into some hitches with a street, and it's just not as easy as we saw in some cities this summer. But, you know, one thing was clear. You know, the council wants to do something, and do something in the very near future, and have it visible and have it represent that Black Lives Matter and Racism Now, you know, those are kind of the phrases we keep talking about. We want to have somewhere visible in our town.
Now, you did also at the same meeting discuss representation on town advisory boards and took the action of putting off appointing representatives until you could get a more diverse panel of applicants too, right?
Yeah. And this is historically a challenge for not just for us, but for many communities that I think historically have had low representation on groups that are decision makers. And so, and I think also, especially in this time of COVID, I think it's just really hard to get anyone who's not used to being a volunteer or who might otherwise want to volunteer to be able to do that when, you know, so many people are just trying to get by, you know, right now with just everything just seems to take twice as long. But we decided to put a pause on our appointments to several of our boards, and we're going to go back to the drawing board and kind of discuss this again. We'd like to have, you know, kind of talk about, you know, having a percentage of like have it as a town, as a policy of this council, that we want to have like an X percentage on each board be non-white folks, you know. And so then the question is, how specific do we want to go beyond that? I think it's really important that we have, you know, at least someone, you know, at least someone Black, at least someone Hispanic, you know, those are such integral parts of our community. It seems like every one of our boards, we should make it a goal of our council to have seats open until we find those folks. And so that's part of what we talked about. Yeah, you know, our attorney advised us that we certainly could do that, and because it would be a policy of the board and something that shows it's a policy of the board that we want to try to achieve. And so we're going to be working on some language around that and come back and try to work toward those efforts.
Speaking with Carborough Mayor Lydia Lavelle, townofcarborough.org, the website for more information. We've got to start wrapping up, but I know we've got a meeting of the town council coming up this coming Tuesday as well after Labor Day weekend. What's on the agenda?
Yeah, we do. We do. And so this Tuesday night, we're going to get some reports. There's some really important reports we're going to get. One of them is about economic development in Carborough. And so, as you know, we, especially with now the students not being back in full force, I think a lot of our businesses are trying to have to rethink, you know, their current business models. And so we have our new economic development director who's going to be speaking to us about, you know, discussions that he's been having with folks, and also for him to hear from us, John Hartman Brown, for him to hear from us about our vision for economic development, because he was hired, I think, in July, and so he hasn't really had that kind of open discussion with us. So that's going to happen. We're going to get an update about our climate implementation advisory board. We're trying to figure out how to set up that advisory board. We're also going to get a report on our affordable housing fiscal year report for 2019-2020, and we will get our policing report, our bias-free policing report from our police department. So it is a night of reports and updates.
And we'll talk about that next week after the meeting when we reconvene for this conversation. You can get the full agenda online at townofcarborough.org, plus a lot more information about town government and other Carborough business. That's Conversations with the Mayors. Mayor Lydia Lavelle, as always, thank you so much.
Thank you, Aaron.